As you know, it's the last coffee morning for 2010. So we're all on the threshold of another year. Just for a few moments, I want to put the clock back 71 years. And I hope it's a bit before my day. Thank you.
A new year is at hand. We cannot tell what it will bring. If it brings a peace, how thankful we shall all be. If it brings us continued struggle, we shall remain undaunted. In the meantime, I feel that we may all find a message of encouragement in the lines which in my closing words I would like to say to you. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. May that almighty hand guide and uphold us all.
That was, of course, King George VI, speaking 3 months after the outbreak of World War II. And the poem that he quoted had been written some 30 years before by one Minnie Louise Haskins, when she was working, as she did for 6 years, as a missionary in India. She was then in her early 30s, born in Gloucestershire. The poem was originally titled God Knows, but for rather obvious reasons became known later as The Gate of the Year. And the lines which the king quoted are good lines. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That will be better to you than light, and safer than a known way. I understand that the story of Miss Haskins and her poem featured in the BBC Radio 4 broadcast this past Saturday on Christmas Day. Yes, they're very good lines. But I want now to call for a contribution from a man. Man who lived some time before Minnie Haskins. Today, December 29, the birthday of William Gladstone. Gladstone, one of the most famous British politicians of the 19th century. During his career, served as Prime Minister 4 times and Chancellor of the Exchequer 4 times. The Bible was the spiritual and intellectual foundation of Mr. Gladstone's life. And in 1891, he published a book under the title The Impregnable Rock of Holy Scripture, in which he commended most strongly the trustworthiness of the Bible. And good as Miss Haskins' lines are, it's from that impregnable rock of Holy Scripture, not good, but the best of all sources, which I want to quote. And as in the will of God we are about to face a new year, my text comes from Isaiah chapter 41, verse 13. The Lord your God will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you. Now, although in its context, that assurance was addressed to the nation of Israel when in captivity in Babylon, as those whose faith rest in the Lord Jesus were surely entitled to take hold of that promise, make our own. And we note that, as in the short series of talks we had before Christmas, our text includes those very comforting words, fear not, I will help you. But the words on which we focus this morning are those which come immediately before that fear not. Namely, I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand. In our daily bread for the 7th of October, the heading of the page read, Hold My Hand. The opening paragraph ran. The waves of Lake Michigan were high and splashing onto the pier one day. As I followed a young family out to a lighthouse, I overheard the young girl say to her father, Daddy, please walk alongside me and hold my hand at this scary part. And I guess that with the inevitable onset of age, possible health problems, uncertainties of the future, we all find life rather scary at times. Nor, with our eyes again on God's promise, I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, nor is it difficult to picture many young children over the past few weeks here, being only too glad that as they stepped out onto snow and ice, that their little hands were clasped firmly in the strong hands of their mother or father. I say strong hands, and so relatively they are. But you will note, I trust, who it is that speaks to reassure his people in their time of need and fear. I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand. We remember, this was the one to whom the psalmist once spoke in prayer. In the beginning, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. The heavens, the observable part of which, as we often point out, comprises, and I say observable, some 100,000 million galaxies, each comprising perhaps in the region of 100,000 million stars. I think we can say that the hands which made every last one of those are indeed strong hands. So well then did the king quite rightly add to his quote from Miss Haskins' poem the words, May that almighty hand guide and uphold us all. Thinking once more of that poem, and in particular of the words of the man who stood at the gate of the year, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God, it's not difficult to imagine young children being frightened to go out alone into the dark, especially if the way ahead of them isn't known. But those same young children, not in the least afraid of either the darkness or the unknown, if their father is there to hold their tiny hand. And I'm reminded of the words of Job. Now quote him. By his, that's God's light, that's God's, by his light, I walk through darkness. We rejoice to know that the one who takes our hand as we venture forth into another year with all its unknowns is the selfsame one of whom David once wrote, Even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. Well then, did Miss Haskins have the man who stood at the gate of the year say, Go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God, that will be better to you than light, and safer than a known way. We sometimes say, some people even sing it, I don't know
what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. And that's most wonderfully true. A bit trite, but it's true. Just think that he who holds the future stoops to hold your hand as well. Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God, into the hand of him who is, as Jude's doxology assures us, able to keep you from falling. It's a source of immense comfort and peace to know that he's more than sufficient. He is more than sufficient to meet whatever trials may lurk in the darkness ahead of us. I read that in 1346, during the so-called Hundred Years' War, the English army of King Edward III were heavily outnumbered by French troops at Crécy in northern France. The king's son, also an Edward, but known perhaps better, certainly later, as the Black Prince, and then only 16 years of age, he led one of the three British divisions, while Edward III stood nearby with a very large force ready to send relief where and when it was needed. During the battle, the prince thought he was in danger, so he sent for help. None came. Young Edward sent another message pleading for immediate assistance. Apparently, the record runs, his father responded by telling the messenger, "Go tell my son that I am not so inexperienced a commander as not to know when help is needed, nor so careless a father as not to send it." And as we face 2011 with all its unknowns, we have one great known, that the Lord God, no less, that the one who both knows when we need his help, and who cares too much for us not to give it, that he undertakes to hold our right hand, saying, "Fear not, I will help you." Having put into the mouth of the man who stood at the gate of the year those now famous words, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God," Miss Haskins added, "So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night." Let us too, with our hand in his, tread gladly into another year. And I'm going to close by quoting lines from another lady, whose life, as Miss Haskins, straddled the 19th and 20th centuries, one Fanny Crosby. "Hold thou my hand. So weak I am and helpless, I dare not take one step without thy aid. Hold thou my hand, for then, O loving Saviour, no dread of ill shall make my soul afraid."